Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to CCSI's Got Tech series of podcasts, number one, episode one, titled Digital Certs Explained in 10 Minutes or Less. So with me today, I am pleased to have John Busso join us for our discussion. John is a senior security and mobility consultant with experience in the public and private sector. John holds a CISSP, he's ITIL certified, CCNP, and CWSP certified as well. He has provided secure mobile transport for devices on the busy stock market trading floors to soldiers deployed in combat zones all around the world. John has over 20 years of experience. So welcome to the episode one of the CCSI series of technical podcasts.
Thanks, Larry. Excited to be here today.
Excellent. So, John, let me ask you first off, why did you volunteer to be part of this today?
Well, besides my boss telling me to do it, I think that digital certificates are an important technology, and people tend to take them for granted. Furthermore, they're not fully understood. I've been working with certificates for over 15 years. And until quite recently, I don't think I truly understood how they worked.
Yeah, understood. I would agree, John. I mean, I've been in technology now for 20 years, and this is probably one of the most confusing topics there is in the industry. You know, let's assume that the listener really has no basis or baseline to go with, so knows nothing about certificates. How would you like to introduce them to the subject?
Okay, well, a certificate is an extension to an electronic message, and it's used to enhance the security of the message. In most cases, the digital certificate allows for the verification of an entity so that the recipient of that message is assured that the sender is whom they claim to be.
So that sounds a little confusing, John.
Well, most commonly, it's used for SSL connections to a secure web server. But it can be used for setting up a secure communication channel, such as a VPN, or even used to authenticate to a wireless network.
All right. So that gives the listener somewhat of an idea of how they're actually used. So that's a little better.
Well, Larry, I think for today we should just focus on the most prevalent example that I already referenced, secure HTTP.
So that sounds good, John. Please continue.
Right. So anytime you see the little lock in the address bar of the web server that you're contacting, you know it's using secure sockets layer, or as we generally refer to it, SSL. SSL is based on an earlier protocol, TLS, Transport Layer Security, but you use the digital certificate while surfing through the web. And as long as you connect to a secure web server, you can browse confidently and establish a secure connection that you can proceed with without the fear of digital eavesdropping.
Okay, so let's put this in some more context, right? So when I do online banking, for instance, let's go through an example of that. So using online banking when I connect, how does this work?
Well, that's why you can use it in a secure manner. Once you type the HTTPS into your browser window, the SSL protocol uses asymmetric encryption. Now, asymmetric encryption uses different keys for encoding and decoding that electronic message. To encrypt the message, a public key, which is known by both parties, is used to encrypt. A private key is then generated, and it's used to decrypt the data, using the keys in combination with each other, digitally signs that communication.
Right. So you mentioned asymmetric, and that implies there's another concept of symmetric, which may be part of one of our next upcoming podcast series. But if we talk about it from an administrative standpoint, how does an administrator put this in place, and how difficult would it be?
It's not that difficult, but it's a little bit complicated. Once you've done it, you understand, but the administrator creates a file called a certificate signing request, sometimes known as a CSR. And this file contains the public key along with key information regarding the server in question, domain name, purpose of the certificate. So in this case, the purpose would be SSL. The administrator will then send that request to a public certificate authority, or as most of us tech guys call a CA. And in general, the ones that are known are DigiCert, VeriSign, GoDaddy. The CA then verifies the administrator's identity and that you have rights to that domain when you're requesting the secure communications. If that information checks out, then they'll grant you the certificate you're asking for. Depending on the public CA that you select and how they handle your request, they will either send you a single CA cert or a file with a chain of authority that contains a root cert and intermediate certs as well. If this is a well-known CA, then your browser already has the CA certificate in its trusted root store of root certificates. If not, users need to import this certificate for the browser to connect you securely. Now, why are we going through all this? Well, you don't want your information floating around the internet, clear text. You could be exposing yourself to man-in-the-middle attacks and worse. So this explains why your browser sometimes complains about connecting to a secure web page. If the browser examines the information in the certificate and does not trust the information presented, whether it's because it doesn't trust the issuing authority or because something looks fishy about the information that's contained in that certificate, it gives you an option to break the communications because it's identifying it as a little fishy. Okay, but it also gives you the option to connect and to proceed in your own risk.
Okay, so for the listener who may not have followed that completely or doesn't have his decoder key out, how about if we put that into some English now?
Okay, let me try and think of an analogy that makes sense here. I don't know that it's an exact analogy, but let's say you're invited to the newest hip nightclub in Manhattan. So you're sent an expensive-looking invitation, like everybody else that's invited to the party, and this is like your public key. Now, when you arrive at this nightclub and go to the front of the line, you hand the bouncer your input. Sees the bouncer and knows that you've been invited to this party, but he doesn't know who you are. So the bouncer then asks you for your driver's license. Bouncer then proceeds to the manager who checks the list for your name that appears on the driver's license. Since you have the invite and an ID that is issued by an authority the manager trusts, the DMV in this case, he okays your entry and returns your invite and the ID, which essentially act as the private key to enter that swanky party.
Swanky party, I like that. So, excellent, very cool analogy. And thankfully, very smart engineers have come up with this strategy, which I feel we could say, at least for now, is keeping us safe. So, I look forward to that invitation to my first swanky party, and this will make a lot more sense next time I go. John, I'd like to thank you for taking part in today's podcast and being that subject matter expert to explain to me as well as our listeners, you know, and help to take the mystery away, at least for a little bit, of this whole notion around digital certificates.
My pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
So that's a wrap for today, folks. Again, we covered within 10 minutes, we covered digital certs and explained some of the inner workings. Again, this is Larry Biancully. Please tune in next month for our next episode. For now, this is Larry Biancully signing off, and until we talk again.